This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon, ladies. It is a joy to see you all here. I don't know if you all feel, at this time of the day, if you're feeling like you're thriving or just surviving through another session. This time of the day, I often like to take a nap. But anyway, hopefully we can thrive today through these 45 minutes. I would like to begin with some intro. I would really be interested in knowing, like, you know, how many mothers we have here, teachers, foreign missionaries, volunteer workers, day jobs. Maybe some of you have several of those. Maybe you can raise your hand for several of those. But let's start with mothers. How many mothers? Okay, lots of mothers. What about teachers? What, did you teach your children? Yeah, there, more hands, yeah. Foreign missionaries, people in foreign, yeah, foreign places. So what countries do we have represented here? Where are you
from? Ireland.
Ireland, wow. And some others, some other countries?
Mexico.
Mexico, yes. Over here?
Ghana.
Great.
India.
Wow. And Poland. Any other countries? Wow, that's amazing. What about volunteer workers? Yes? So is that like Hillcrest Home or Mountain View or other countries?
Where? Like Camping Canada.
Okay. Great. Yes. Interesting. How about day jobs? Day jobs in a store or wherever. Well, the fact is, no matter where you are, you're probably involved with people on some level. So I hope that this workshop, this session, can encourage you in some way. When I first heard the title, because I was assigned this topic, or I had a choice, and I looked at the choices, and my heart didn't really connect with this this topic until I started thinking about my own story. I remember when the weight on my shoulders felt too heavy to bear, and I was struggling to make it through every week, and every day I would wake up and just feel like I was gasping for breath and just waiting for nighttime to come. That's called surviving, and it's the opposite of thriving. And I know that it would have helped me a lot during that time to hear from other people who had been there or who were going through that. And it was it's a very lonely place to be, and it's dark. Feeling alone in a time like that is a very dark place to be. And my shepherd guided me gently through that time, and he brought me to a place of healing and abundance, and I am so thankful, so grateful. Of course, there are still days when I feel like I'm living in survival mode, because it's not just a one-time battle that's fought and won. It's everyday choices to live out of the abundance of life that Christ gives. And to make choices led by the Holy Spirit that help me to tap into the life, the abundant life that he gives. So I thought I would simply share some of my story with you and talk about the choices, the steps I took, the lies I believed that took me to that dark place. And if I could change the title of this workshop, it would be My Journey from Surviving to Thriving by the Grace of God. And honestly, it feels really vulnerable to me to stand up here and share this with you. But as I prayed about this, it really felt like this is what God was leading me to share. And I hope you can find yourself somewhere in my story. My story is from my life in Poland. And your story is probably, your story is different. We have, people are at different places, you know, whether you're a mother or you're a day worker or you're a teacher, you know, volunteer service. No matter where you do or where you live, I do think you'll find yourself somewhere in my story. I hope that you won't have to go down to that dark place where I was. But, I just hope it can encourage you. Because, you know, life is just messy sometimes. It's full of endless demands. And every day we have choices to make about how to spend our time, you know, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. I read a book recently that touched me deeply. It's called The Best Yes by Lisa Turkhurst. And that book helped me very much in just inviting the Holy Spirit in to guide my decisions every day with how I spend my time, who I'm going to meet, who I'm going to listen to. And one of the main ideas from her book is this: a woman who lives with the stress of an overwhelmed schedule will ache with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul. I'm going to repeat that. A woman who lives with the stress of an overwhelmed schedule will ache with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul. I don't know if that echoes in your soul at all, but the first time I read that, I cried because I knew exactly what she was talking about. And living with the sadness of an underwhelmed soul is not a fun place to be. Okay, so starting my story, we moved to Poland in 2001. We'd been married 2 years. We had a 20-month-old daughter and a 5-month-old daughter. And when we flew from Washington, D.C. to Warsaw, Poland, and all we had was a week's reservation in a hotel and rental cars for 1 week. So we had 1 week to find places to live and to find vehicles, and that craziness catapulted us into survival mode pretty fast. But it's a different kind of survival mode than that dark place of surviving where I'm talking about. That's like physical survival, like, you know, which is like pretty much day-to-day. Where are we going to eat? What, you know, learning how to read the labels in the store, you know, it's survival mode, but it's kind of fun and adventurous too. It was chaotic, new and strange. You know, we were stared at, you know. I'd walk down the sidewalk, and sometimes just for fun, I would walk past someone, then I would just stop and look back, and without fail, they had stopped. And they were looking, you know. And that does feel lonely, not to be known at all. That feels lonely. But it was kind of honeymoon stage, too, because I've always loved adventure. I like meeting new people, exploring new countries, learning new languages. That's something I enjoy doing. So in a lot of ways, it was a dream come true. I had lived in Poland as an 18-year-old for 3 months teaching English, and I always wanted to go back, so it felt like, you know, it was amazing when God led us back there, and that was exciting. Led me back there with a husband. lots of stories I could tell from that time. One time, my husband went to the store, he wanted to buy ground meat, and he wanted it to be beef. So he looked, he saw ground meat, and he pointed at the ground meat, and he was like, moo? And the lady was like, uh-uh. Bok, bok, bok. That's a fun, great story. But yeah, so those first, you know, those that first year where we were studying Polish 5 hours a day, that was difficult. I had two little girls, and my little baby wasn't sleeping at night, and I was really tired physically, but it was exciting. But I want to fast forward past those years to, I would say, about 2 or 3 years after that, when we started meeting lots of people and learning to know people in our town. My husband was teaching English, and more people were starting to come into our home. The opportunities were just, you know, exploding. And I think that during that time, that the first, I started believing something that's what was my first step down. I believed that I could never say no to anyone because I might miss an opportunity, you know, to move someone closer to the Lord. I just felt like we had to say yes to every opportunity. And that's a trap. That became a trap. It's unrealistic to expect that of yourself or anyone. To expect to tell yourself that you can never say no. My heart wanted to make decisions that honored God. I know I really did. And it was exciting to be having so many, you know, significant conversations. And during that time, many beautiful things happened. People did turn from darkness to light and from fear to confidence in the Lord. That was wonderful. But after months and months of that, I realized our family was really suffering. And our schedule was just overwhelming. We would often, on the weekends, so we would have guests Friday evening for supper, sometimes for Saturday brunch, Saturday evening for supper, and Sunday for lunch. I'm not trying to get brownie points. I'm not proud of this. But it just felt like we had to do this. You know, this is the weekend. It's when people could get together. We had a family of little children, and we were just, you know, spending so much time with other people. And probably 80% of the time was with unbelievers, and which in many ways was exciting and an opportunity. But my heart started dying. I didn't realize it. And we also had young ladies boarding with us, wonderful young ladies. I don't know, are there any of them in here? there were just really wonderful young ladies that boarded with us. For 9 years, we had via volunteer girls living with us and with our family. And when I think back to that time, I wonder sometimes, how do we live through all of that? And I describe it like this. I feel like a blanket of grace was covering that and brought us through that time. But yes, as I was saying, after months and months of that, I started, just my heart was starting to feel crushed, you know, and I didn't have anywhere to go with it. And that was one of the hardest things. I was setting impossibly high standards for myself, and in my desire to please people and meet their needs, I became frustrated and resentful. People pleasing. You can't thrive when you're trying to please people. That's one of the fastest ways to take you to that place of survival, when you just try to please the people around you. And I think my focus was more and more like that, and not, I just wasn't, I felt I was like I was doing the Lord's work, and I believe I was. People were coming to Him, but there were things, very important things in my life that were being neglected. After months and even years of this kind of schedule, a deep and ugly resentment started building up in me against the people I loved so much. And that was really, when I realized that, that brought me up short. There was a young man who was an atheist, and he was spending, you know, most of, well, probably three times a day, he was at our house, and my husband would sit with him for hours. And he loved to eat. He would go to my refrigerator, and he would just, you know, open the refrigerator and pull out the food. And in the beginning, it was funny. You know, I was like, yeah, sure, help yourself. It's fine. But after a while, I just resented it so much. And I was like, why am I resenting this, you know? Because I never said no, you know. And when you never say no, you start resenting the people that you are serving. There need to be healthy barriers. You cannot thrive without healthy barriers. I think the resentment happened a lot because, and this is really key, with my overwhelmed schedule and endless demands, I had almost no time to sit with the Lord. My time was pretty much taken up with, you know, my children, first of all, and then, you know, people. And I used to tell myself that, you know, everything I do is worship. You know, I can worship through my acts of service. And that is true. But you need time to sit at Jesus' feet and to just soak Him in and drink from the well. So, you know, I didn't have that time. I wasn't taking that time. So my supplies were depleted and my well was completely dry. I would say that about 9, 10, 11 years after we came to Poland, I was at that point. And I don't have time to talk about everything that contributed to that. During those times, we were working through really big issues in our small mission, starting an English school, saying hello and goodbye to new volunteer workers every 2 years, seeing our children's heartbreak, you know, saying hello and goodbye, and our own. At one point, my husband was the school director, the pastor, and the mission director when we didn't have co-workers for a while. And that was a really incredibly difficult time. But we kept on going, and God's grace was definitely real to us. Definitely felt and experienced His grace during that time, but my heart was still dying, I think. And I think a big part of that was that we didn't have a support system in place. And, you know, I'm not blaming anyone. We could have reached out. We should have reached out more. You need to talk. I just remember feeling utterly alone, and you can't thrive if you feel alone. If you feel alone in what you're going through, you really cannot be in a place of thriving. I think one of the biggest things that contributed to that downward spiral was I didn't talk to anyone besides my husband. How could I let anyone know that this foreign missionary was falling apart? That's a lie. That's just a lie from the enemy, that you need to maintain some sort of image no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. You need to talk to someone. If you feel like you're barely surviving, just reach out to someone. Reach out to someone before you get to that point. Don't let it get there, because it's really hard to come back from that. I feel like our enemy doesn't want us to know how powerful the family of God is. I think we can thrive when we have vital relationships with the family of God around us. Don't hold things inside without sharing about them to people. I remember one evening sitting on our couch when something major in our lives had happened and had fallen apart, and I finally sent a message. This is about 11 years after we had been there. I finally sent a message to someone I trusted, to Marie Mullet. I don't know. She's probably not in here. And I said that my heart is shattered in 1,000 pieces, and I have no idea how to go on. And she immediately wrote me back, and she said, "Oh, my dear, I knew this was going to happen. You are too wounded at this time to work through everything that has been happening. So you need to put it on the shelf and just leave it for now and just focus on healing. Don't try to work through everything." That advice helped me a lot, I think, to just to bring it together and put some things on the shelf. I couldn't work through it. There were so many things that had taken me down. I couldn't work through them all. And just that advice to just shelve it for a while really helped me. But what helped me the most was reaching out to someone and that immediate response. And that was right there all that time. That was right there. I could have been doing that, you know. So don't let yourself believe that you're alone, because there are women everywhere who are willing to listen and help you. I think a lie that plagues people in ministry is that you have to hold it together. You know, you really need to hold it together. You can't be weak. You might let others down. You know, if you're weak, you'll let others down. You know, I was like, what will, you know, these Polish people who are depending on me, if I show them my weakness, it will let them down. That's a lie, because if I show them my weakness, they will know that we're all together, right? We come to the foot of the cross and we're all on the same level, right? We're not, no one is here and here. We're all together here. No matter where we are, we're on the same level at the foot of the cross. So when you don't share, you have this huge weight inside you that pulls you down. You have to get it out. You have to talk about it. I think after many years of not talking about it, I hardly knew how to pray about it. I hardly knew how to bring it to the Lord. Life felt black at that moment. I don't know if you've been there. I don't wish that for any of you. But very likely, at some level, sometime in your life, you might be there. the life in service is demanding. Whether you're a mother, whether you're in a foreign country, whether you're a teacher, yeah, just when you're serving people, it is demanding. And if you live in a foreign country, those demands are intensified. On top of the demands, you're dealing with a foreign culture and probably a different language. It makes communicating draining sometimes. And I understand now in ways that I didn't then. It is absolutely vital to have downtime. When you have no space to refuel or recharge, it's impossible to thrive. You need space to refuel and recharge. And I think for many years I believed that. I shouldn't need that. I shouldn't need that. But look at Jesus. How many times did he go out by himself and spend the night in prayer, or just even, sometimes he left people who were needy. He didn't say yes all the time. There was one story in particular where there were people waiting for him, and he left that village and went on to the next village. And I think when I started, studying Jesus' life, I was like, I can do that too. It's freeing to realize that you can't meet everybody's needs. You absolutely cannot. And Jesus could have. He's Jesus. But even he took a lot of time, I think, to refuel. So I want to finish this part, that dark place of survival where I was, and talk more about what I think brought me out of that and brought me to this place of where I feel like I am thriving. Does anyone have a tissue? Yes, thank you. I can't move from here. I'm supposed to stay right here. Otherwise, bad things might happen. Thank you. I was there in that dark place, and I would say probably for a year or more, I was there. And by the grace of God, I started reaching out to people who told me good things about having healthy barriers and that it's okay and good and right to say no sometimes. I would say that recovery from that dark place was a several years long process. And I cut way back on my times with people outside of my family. And in the beginning, I felt so guilty. It was hard for me to live with that guilt, because I had, for so many years, I told myself that these people need me, and if I'm not there, they're not going to be moved closer to the Lord. Our God is much bigger than that. He can use many people in many different ways. It doesn't have to be you. And so I spent a lot of time alone. Of course, I was with my family, so I couldn't spend all my time alone. But I did spend a lot more time alone. I started journaling and praying and taking time to do things I hadn't done in years. And I started to do things just for fun. I think that's necessary for thriving, that you do things just for fun. Like, find something that you really enjoy doing. I remember making a decision that I'm going to do something every week that really makes me feel alive. Whether it's, painting a room in my house, or maybe for someone it's scrapbooking, or taking a walk in the woods, just doing something that makes you feel alive. And it's so healing. It's really, really healing and freeing to do that. Choosing daily not to live in guilt. Don't let guilt, consume you. It was so freeing, and I feel like at that time my underwhelmed heart and soul became a heart at rest. You cannot thrive without a heart at rest. And you cannot be at rest if you're being controlled by endless demands and expectations. So I think, yeah, I feel like I could feel like I wasted those years in some ways, but nothing is wasted with God, right? I look at the people I was spending time with during that time, and I still have close friendships with them, and they bring me a lot of joy. A young lady who came to the Lord I prayed with her when she came to the Lord, and now she's a wonderful young Christian wife and mother. She's like a daughter to me. And it was during that very dark time in my life when I was able to pray with her. So that's beautiful. That's redemption. It's like God can use you even when you're at that dark place. So if you find yourself there, don't feel like you're useless. I think it was really good. It was really good for me to realize that God was using me. He was using our family during that time. And what's amazing to me, too, is that our children, I ask them sometimes what their memories are of, during that time. They don't remember that. They don't remember that it was, a dark time for me. And to me, that's redemption and grace. That's that blanket of grace, and so that's really precious. So as I was studying for this, this really excited me. You are created to thrive. This came so clear to me. Jesus came so that you could have abundant life. You're meant to do more than just survive. If you're God's child, you are meant to thrive. Plain and simple. If you're God's child, you are meant to thrive. You're created to thrive. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, you will have hard times, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it doesn't mean that I don't have hard times anymore, but I think I rest in Jesus and remember that he has overcome the world. I don't have to overcome the world. He did it. And I can only thrive as I rest in his victory, not mine, and not something I work up in myself. If surviving is a word that's describing your life right now, you're not living the life you were meant to live. And I know that from experience. Surviving is for hopeless people. And of all people, we should be the most hopeful because we have everything we need through Jesus Christ. He's overcome the world. That means we can thrive in spite of. In my dark time, I lost sight of that I could actually thrive in spite of. And I think during that time, I felt like this is my life. I remember telling Laverne this, that I can't handle this, but I don't see any end in sight. This is going to be our lives forever. I know now that's a lie. That was a lie from the enemy, that he wanted me to believe that my life was never going to change. It was always going to be like this. And it was just going to get worse and worse. And so be hopeful. Rest in the hope. Earlier today I did a workshop on praying God's will. And that was a really big part for me, too, of coming out of that place of survival, is praying the Word of God over myself, my children, my husband, just using the Word of God. And I feel like that really brought me to a place of thriving, because the Word of God brings life. Yes, you cannot thrive if you are not in the Word, receiving the words of life. And let other things go, but don't let that go. Don't let the word of life, words of life go, because you need that to thrive. And also huge in our quest to thrive is the role of the Holy Spirit in our everyday decisions. I remember when I started, I would sit at my kitchen table on Monday mornings and I'd look over my week and I would see, this opportunity, that opportunity, this lady wants to come, that lady wants to come, and just bringing each of those specifically, taking the time to bring each of those specifically to the Lord and praying that, God, you promised to give me your Holy Spirit to guide me into truth. Show me who you want me to meet with this week. I'll meet with three people. I decided to meet with three people a week. And how he guided, he guides you. He will, as you take time to sit and listen to the Holy Spirit, to guide your decisions. He will do that. That's what he promised. And he's a comforter. And as I sat there and felt him guiding me, it was such a comfort. It was so freeing. And the people I said no to, they didn't die. I met with them the next week. You know, it used to be every day, or twice a day. And the problem with that was that my children and my family, they were getting all my leftover time. And that wasn't pretty. So I really needed to get back to that place of being guided by the Holy Spirit in everyday decisions. So when Jesus said he was sending the Comforter to guide us into truth, I'm sure that doesn't mean just the big theological truth. For me, that means everyday decisions. And it takes time to pray and seek his will about every decision. But it's vital. There are not many better things to take time for than to really ask, to invite him into every decision you make. I'm not talking about things like, you know, how, you know, when you're going to wash your dishes or that kind of thing, but how you're going to spend your time. When you feel a check in your spirit, stop and listen. And the more you listen and obey, the more he gives you of his spirit. That's what I experienced, and that just made me so happy. Just feeling that father care that I had lost sight of all those years. And he was guiding me. He was there. He was my father. He was right beside me, but I wasn't aware of just how blessed it is, how amazing it is to feel him guiding. You cannot thrive if you don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you're not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding you. If you're feeling tight and weary, just step back and ask God for wisdom to show you what you're doing wrong. Because there's probably something that you're giving your time to that is not helping you to thrive. And I have experienced many times where God has just, he's just put a finger on something and said, you need to let that go. That's not contributing to your life of thriving. You know, sometimes we think that every little decision we make is just huge. And they're not all that. They're not such huge decisions. I remember when I started asking myself two questions when I was trying to make a decision. Will it matter in 5 years? Will this decision matter in 5 years? And will it matter in eternity? And I don't know what that says to you. It says different things to different people. But for me, it was like, okay, so this decision I'm making now, it probably won't matter in 5 years. It might matter in eternity. You know, but it just to stop and take time and ask yourself, will this matter in 5 years? Will it matter in eternity? So just remember that you cannot thrive if you say yes to every opportunity. Opportunity is all around you. But I think that, yeah, God wants to use us, and it's an amazing thing to partner with the Lord and working in his kingdom. There's just nothing better, really. But the enemy attacks us at so many levels, I think, when we're doing that. He's just, you know, he just, if you're on the front lines there and you're really sharing the Lord with people who don't know him, enemy hates that, and he is going to try to pull you, drag you down. So remember, if you're God's child, you are meant to thrive and to point to our hope. He's our sure anchor, the source of our joy and peace and contentment. His name is Jesus. I believe you all know him. And I think when I was in that, you know, that dark place of survival, I wasn't really pointing people very well to Jesus. And I'm just thankful for his grace that, yeah, brought me out of that time. Are there any testimonies? Do any of you have anything to say, like a time when you felt like that and what brought you out of that? I would love to hear. I think, like I said, I felt alone in that time. And as I started sharing with people, I realized this is not something strange. A lot of people get to this point you know, and we need to be sharing with each other. We need to be talking about the goodness and the faithfulness and the grace of God that brings us through those times. And so if anyone has anything to share, I would love to hear it. What brought you through?
There's been times for me where I just felt like I had too much on my schedule. And I just prayed and asked God to work it out because, you know, and with Him answering that, mm-hmm. He would have somebody cancel out or something would come up. That, mm-hmm. You know, it just wasn't as cool.
Yes.
And so that's a blessing.
That's
Give
amazing.
It to Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So she said that that she had times when her schedule was really overwhelmed, and she asked God, she just put it into God's hand and asked Him to take care of it, and then something would cancel. I forget what else you said, but that's what stood out to me, because that is really what happened to me a number of times. I was like, okay, Lord, I did overplan my week, and I'm feeling really tight about this, so I'm giving it to You. And it was amazing. You know, someone just wouldn't show up. And all of a sudden, I had 2 or 3 free hours. Like, wow, that's a gift. God, when we invite the Holy Spirit into our daily lives, that's what happens. Thank You. Anyone else?
I've experienced when God sometimes takes you to a place where you can't get away.
Mm-hmm.
You have a handicap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a really terrible thing. I remember a time where it just felt, yeah, for hours at night, we were so sleep deprived. And I was thinking, if this is life, I'm ready to die.
Mm.
But I thought we would never get away. It's your child.
Yes.
And this is our responsibility. Mm. But God has brought us to a much better place.
Mm.
So He brought us out of death.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. So she was saying that sometimes, you know, we're at a place where we feel like there really isn't a way out. In her case, it's a handicapped child. And, you know, when you're really sleep deprived, it's really hard to, feel hopeful when you're sleep deprived. But God brought your son to a better place, health-wise. Yes. Thanks, God. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? I love this. I love hearing about the goodness of God. Wonderful. You prayed that God would bring someone, and He brought more than one. Beautiful. Yeah. The family of God, like I said, the enemy doesn't want you to realize how powerful the family of God is. It's a mystery, really, the way we are connected through the power of the blood of Jesus. We are family, and that's a force the enemy cannot reckon with. So I just want to repeat that you need a support system in place. You can thrive when you are connected to the family of God, when you have people you can share with and encourage, and they can encourage you. Reach out and find someone. I remember another time when our children were sick for the whole winter. They were really, really sick. And that was a really, really hard winter. I don't know why we didn't write to people in the States and say, we are so tired and our children are so sick and life is going on. But after 3 months of sickness, we finally wrote an email one day and we said, we are really at a low point. And could you pray? And in less than an hour after that, I just felt the darkness lifting, like darkness that had settled into my soul. The darkness just really lifted, and I thought, that is incredible, even before we heard back from anyone. And I know it wasn't just because we talked or we asked for it. It was because people started praying immediately, and the power of the enemy can't stand against that. So, anyone else? Poland. Poland.
Anyway, I went through the Psalms and highlighted all the verses that talk about joy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a journal and I copied them out. And I noticed in that
lot of those times when we talk about, when the verses talk about joy, what either comes before that or after that is crying out to God.
Yes.
So that was something that I still look, to look back on my mind. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Words of life, words about joy, because the joy comes from Him, and we invite that in. Yes, so she was saying that during a dark time, going to the Psalms and just underlining every verse about joy, and reading over that, copying it in her journal. There have been times that I have an audio Bible on my phone, and just have that playing in your home. And really, I feel like it pushes back against the enemy, against his forces, and brings that spirit of joy and the life. So, anyone else? We can go on for a long time. I mean, we can't actually, because I just got a signal that we can't actually, but I would... would there be one more, maybe? One more person that's just bursting to say something? If not, thank you very much for letting me share my heart with you. It felt vulnerable. But you were really, I felt the warmth and the acceptance from you. Thank you. In the back there, I have my girls and I made these bookmarks with a verse, and it says, "You were meant to thrive," and it has a little bit of ribbon on it. It's like Polish folklore ribbon colors, and help yourself. And there are some prayer cards back there for our family. So come and see us in Poland. I'd love to. We don't have many visitors, so I would love to see you over in there. Okay, God bless.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.